Anyways, it's always to me a kind of an awkward transition there from drums to lights on. The lights on are just, I don't know, it makes me uncomfortable, but it's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. You know, Sid talked to me a couple of weeks ago. I knew they were going to be out of town. Talked to me about bringing some word and you know, obviously, I know that's part of what I'm here to do, and so I have. But I've had people ask me all week, like all week, "Hey man, what are you talking about on Sunday? You know, you got certain songs you want to play?" And I'm like, I have no clue what I'm supposed to share. But I love the release of the word from several people in here to where I'm just breaking off a piece of what God's dealing with me on. And so there'll be a lot of things I talk about this morning that have to deal with us as a church. And not necessarily Victory Fellowship, but the church in this country. A lot of it's going to have to deal with me. And so at no point in time do I want you to think that anything that I got for me for this year is something that you are supposed to walk in. But I also don't want you to just reject it like James was talking about earlier. You know, it's a good word that James brought about. There are things that we are supposed to carry, and there's things that we're not supposed to carry. And just because it's uncomfortable does not mean that you don't carry it. He was talking about that backpack, right? You know, a backpack's not comfortable in itself, right? If I'm taking a walk, I'd rather not have something weighing me down, but it's necessary. If you're going to go on a long hike, it is necessary. You need something to sustain your life with, and so they're necessary. So just because something's uncomfortable or it causes you to work does not mean that that's not from the Lord. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that this morning, and a lot about what Sid talked about last. I say a lot about it, but I think it just kind of coincides. So as I started doing this, and I shared this with the worship team in the side room, so they'll get it twice this morning. Sorry, guys, but there might be some more details. But anyways, I started kind of taking inventory of 2020 about a year ago. Oddly enough, I preached the first Sunday in the new year 1 year ago. And I remember God had kind of given me this, as cheesy as it is, given me for me, maybe not for you, maybe not for Victory, but for me, 2020 was going to be a year of perfect vision. I know it sounds really cheesy because it's 2020, and this was not like one of the big mega church 3-point sermons and a song type thing. But for me, it was to have good vision. And then as the year carried on and brought all that it brought, you know, that it wasn't this high five, like, all right, I see everything perfectly. It's I see things as they truly were, with all of the makeup washed off of them and all the junk washed off of it, and we see things as they really were. And so as I'm recapping 2020, obviously the main thing that we'll all pull from 2020 is the coronavirus, right? That's something that's real, and it's out there, and it changed life. And out of everything that I listed, it's probably at the top. Like, that's the thing that's greatest, has the most great impact on us probably in 2020. But there were several things that took place in 2020 as I'm just kind of going through some things that you may or may not have remembered or forgot about or knew, or I don't know, because there was so much going on. It was like something new each day. Like, literally, like in the middle of all this, a swarm of locusts like ate the crops in Eastern Africa. Like, that happened. That wasn't you reading the Old Testament. Those are things that happened. There were charges of impeachment that tried to be brought forth against Donald Trump, who was the president. Several deaths took place. We have the police brutality issue. We have, you know, I wrote down the Beirut explosion. Some of us have probably forgotten about that. It was a large explosion that took place with some nitrate got, but we don't have to leave the country for that. We can go to the wildfires out on the West Coast. I'm talking about millions of acres getting burned. And just because it doesn't happen here doesn't mean that it didn't displace a lot of Americans and absolutely change our ecosystem. There was a lack of toilet paper for a while. Yeah, that happened. Like, we all thought, I guess, the coronavirus was going to give us massive bowel issues, and we all needed toilet paper for it. So we lost the toilet. So that's really something I wrote down because that's what I remember. I remember, like, I just need a roll of toilet paper, and there was none to be found. And so, like I said, as I'm looking through all these things, and I'm looking back at it, and we see things as what they really are. And so when I look back at these things, the coronavirus or the shutdown, there's two things that I feel like we did there. Here's the explanation there. With the coronavirus and the shutdown, that was fear, and it became idolatry. Okay? And if you look at the definition of the word idolatry, that means you're putting something in the place of God. And if the coronavirus caused you to do things that were not in the place of God because you were acting out of fear, that's idolatry. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend you, but that's the definition of it. When it took the place, right? And I'm not saying that you don't act in common sense. I'm not saying that, guys. And don't be that. Don't go out there and say all that. But when it became the dictating force in what we did in life for that couple of weeks or couple of months or whatever it was for you, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just the rest of the world and you weren't affected at all. But that's idolatry. That's putting something in the place of Jesus. You know, when we look at the impeachment and political division that we still have in this country today, which, you know, our buddy George Washington tried to warn us against a couple hundred years ago, said, don't do it. And we're like, oh, we're going to do it anyway. It's divisiveness. It's discourse. That's what that is. It's divisiveness and it's discourse, right? And there are people on both sides of this that proclaim, at least with their mouth, to be believers and Christians, yet two different messages, two things going, and that's discourse. When we're talking about, you know, the police issue, whatever you want to call it, I'm not trying to be offensive to either side, Lord knows, but that's a lack of love. That shows, again, division, strife, and discourse, and a lack of kindness, right? There's a lack right there. You know, and even with toilet paper, it shows confusion. Like we were confused to the point where, like, let's just buy toilet paper and bread. You know, like the milk sandwiches we eat every time there's a storm or something like that. Let's just go buy a bunch of toilet paper. What was the reason for that? Can anybody still, like, this is an open discussion, this one. Can anybody tell me why everybody bought toilet paper? Is there a reason behind this? We're still like, go get that TP. Like, that might be the new currency when all this goes down, zombie apocalypse happens, you got some toilet paper, all right, you're in. Yeah, and you got some TP? Is that one ply, two ply? What you got? What you packing? It's confusion. It's a lack of peace and understanding and integrity. And so as I recap everything, right, and as I look through all that stuff, here's where I get to. It tells me that the world needs Jesus, okay? It needs Jesus and its followers to live in the Spirit. And so I want to go to Galatians this morning, chapter 5. It's a very common scripture, but I want to look at it and I want to put it in the context because just because we're transitioning the calendar and the things rolling over does not mean any of these things are going away. That's not the way that it works. You don't close your eyes at 11:11 and make a wish, or 12:01 or 12:05 for some of you guys that kept up with it on YouTube, whenever it might have been, okay? Whenever that happened, there's no magical, you know, white erase board that just washes the Rona away, okay? If it were, we would have done it already. That washes confusion away, right? And so just because we're moving into 2021 doesn't mean that all of these things are just going to magically stop. And so I want to look at some scripture really quickly that I feel like is important to us, okay? So we're going to look in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You've heard these before, but I want to take these now and put them in context of what we just talked about for 2020. And so I'm going to read and then we'll go back, okay? So in verse 13, it says, you, and I'm in the NIV this morning. I hope that doesn't bother you. If it is, you need to work that out with Jesus. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Rather, serve one another. Sid talked about this last week. He talked about love and giving and serving, okay? So to serve one another humbly in love, that's both of them, right? That's two out of three right there. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. I can stop right there and talk about all of the things that you saw in the media last year. And this right here, if the church, and I'm not talking about Victory, but yes, Victory is included, would have been walking fully in our power, we could have stopped this thing in its tracks. Yet it's continued to grow. We've continued to bite one another and devour one another and not live and serve one another humbly in love. Moving on. So I say in verse 16, okay? So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit contrary to what is the flesh. They are in conflict with one another so that you are not to do whatever you want. This is that whole yin and yang thing, right? But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. For those of you who don't know what debauchery means, there is a Google. But it's basically living in an excess of immorality. idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those whose lifestyles, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if I read that over and over and over again, and I go back and I read the list of things that I just took inventory of in 2020, it sounds a lot like that. Divisiveness, hatred, envy, backbiting, devouring one another. As the church in America, guys, we were answerless when this thing hit. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You can be mad about what I'm saying right now, but it's the truth. Because when all this stuff hit, we should have been the light that's shining. We should have been that group right there. Say, hey, listen, I know you're afraid, but I've got some answers here. I don't have the answer. I don't have the coronavirus cure. I don't know if there ever will be one, just like there's not one for the flu. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Let's move on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying of one another. And so when we look back, what should the coronavirus pandemic have been met with? Peace. Peace knowing that he is the author and the finisher of all things. Peace knowing that I don't know the answer, but I have peace with that. In Philippians, it talks about a peace that passes understanding. Well, I don't understand. It's okay. I still have peace because I still know that I know the guy that knows everything, the God of the universe, who has still got the whole thing spinning, who still knows exactly what's going on, whether we do or not. See, it's not important that he knows. You know, we got into this a long time ago. I told him he don't like being down here when I preach because I always pick on him. But a long time ago, when we started talking about how we're going to raise Judah and things like that and what type of, you know, punishments and things that we have, Jamie read a book, and I can't remember who wrote the book, but there was this instance where there's a little boy running toward the road, right? And when he heard the voice of his father in a stern, commanding voice, he stopped running toward the road. And then I'm going to mess this whole thing up because it's been a minute. He's 12 now, so it's been a little while. But someone that's always this person here is like, oh, please stop. Please don't do that. And there's not a lot of command there. Child's not going to stop running toward the road, right? So it's not important that he knows why I'm telling him what to do. What's important is that he hears my voice and just does what I'm telling him to do. It's not important that we know where the coronavirus pandemic's going to end. What's important is that we listen to the voice of the Lord and do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. That's what that conveys peace. That conveys solidarity with my Savior, that I'm not in this confused state to where I go buy $50 worth of toilet paper. I'm not going to be confused. That's confusion. Confusion, it ties right into drunkenness and those factions and dissension. That's confusion. The enemy, like, he seeks to devour us, and one of the tools of the enemy is confusion. If you get confused about her feelings toward you, that's going to be a problem, right? It's going to create all kind of animosity, and you're going to, you know, you're going to be those people that sit up and wonder what he's thinking about. You know, that meme, that's one of my favorite memes. They're like, you know, facing the opposite direction. He's probably thinking of some other girl. And he's like, man, I wish I'd ate that hamburger today or whatever it is, you know. But it creates confusion, and that's a real thing. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. That's not what we're supposed to be living in. And so if we do what we're supposed to do, right, we combat the coronavirus with peace. These political issues. We don't yell at people that don't think the way that we do. We don't get angry, right? We meet that with kindness. Hey, man, that's cool. You ain't got to believe the way that I do. I'm going to meet you with some kindness. Doesn't mean that you're accepting of things that you know are morally wrong or reprehensible or the fruits of the Spirit, but it does mean that, the Bible's very clear. It doesn't say, hey, only be kind to those people that deserve it. Only give your coat to those people that aren't going to, you know, go out. Only give money to the guy on the side of the road if he's not going to spend it on alcohol. It's not what it says. Read it. It says, hey, give anyway. Do anyway. Be kind anyway. And it doesn't mean that just for people that believe differently than you. We got an election coming up on the 5th. It could very well swing our country out of balance. And I don't mean that as if you're a right and left, but, you know, it could lose the balance of the two political factions, right? And things could change. Okay, guess what? I'm going to have peace about that too. right? I'm going to be kind about that as well. You know, as far as the police situation, gentleness, self-control, and that's on both sides of the coin. Self-control, you know, listen to commands, do what you're told, be gentle to those that you're at. Those are all things that we've got the answers to all of this stuff right in front of us, but for whatever reason, when confusion sets in and we buy toilet paper by the tons, like we start thinking that we're smarter than the system and we've got the plans, and my plan is better than anybody else's plan. If you'll listen to me, we'll do it right. That's not the case. That's not what we're called to do as believers. And that's why when this thing hit, we were powerless. Were. Because we've leaned to our own understanding and how we interpret church should be and what our functions should be. And we've done that. That's the problem, is we shouldn't be interpreting these things for ourselves. This is not open for you to dialogue with yourself. Well, I really think it means is this. And I'm going to act this way. I'm going to speak this. That ain't it, chief. That's not how it shakes down. We're supposed to do these things the way that the Lord has told us to. And so after I look and I take inventory of all these things, bottom line, what we need in this country and in America is Jesus and its followers to live by the Spirit and in the Spirit. And that's another thing I feel like is an issue. As we read this at the end, it talks about crucifying the flesh with our passions and our desires, and we live by the Spirit, but it also says to live in the Spirit. Okay, I'll prove that to you. I'll give you the verse. No, was it 25? To live in the Spirit. There's a difference in living by the Spirit's rules and the set of rules and living and indwelling with that personal day-to-day relationship with Christ Jesus, which the Spirit was sent for us to do so. You know, we give too much credit to the wrong thing, I think, a lot of times. Like, you know, we credit our conscience with doing the right thing. I'm sorry, guys. I believe that that word was created for Holy Spirit because people didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Well, something on the inside of you tells you to do it. It's not your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you urging you to do right. Because your conscience never says, well, maybe I should do wrong. Like, that doesn't happen. You know, maybe I should steal this thing. It says, you probably shouldn't. That's wrong, you know that. So don't confuse your conscience with the Holy Spirit. You have an indwelling with the Holy Spirit that's what you should abide by, not just the rules, because you can't live 100% in joy and kindness if the Spirit is not there. Because I work with some people, okay? Not Amanda, she's awesome, okay? But I work with some people. She's not in here. She's teasing little kids. I work with some people. I'm not going to be kind to them unless the Holy Spirit sit beside me that day. I'm just being real with you, okay? I work with some folks, and it takes a whole lot of that Jesus salve, okay, to help me deal with those people. And if I'm living by the rules, I'm not going to be successful, okay? If I'm just doing it because it's the right thing, if I'm doing it out of duty, at some point in time, my duty patience is going to wear out, okay? Like, I'm going to lose that at some point in time. And so I've got to live with the Spirit and be sensitive to the Spirit and then woosah, goosefrabah, and calm myself down, not with any, you know, technique that comes from anything other than our Word, and to live with the Spirit. And so as I look, and I don't call these things problems, guys. Even the Apostle Paul refers to these as opportunities, okay? And so we're going to move over to James real quick. And I know it's going to be weird. It's not going to be like high five. You're not going to leave this morning but like, man, I'm ready to do this thing. I'm just sharing with you what I feel like God has put on my heart today and share with me over this last week. And so in James, about a week ago, I was at a Sunday afternoon wrestling practice, and a young man came in, and he ran practice for us, great guy, and he started sharing, you know, at the end, we have a little character education, okay, and so he pulls out the number one bestseller of all time, and he turns to the book of James, and then he reads this, and as soon as he did it, it stuck with me. I'm going to start in James, and I'm going to go ahead and just read 2-8 really quickly. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. And so a lot of folks over the last couple of weeks and months, we talk about the word, you know, for 2021, we need a word for 2021, whether that's a singular word or a big word for 2021. And I'm like, just ain't got one of those. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not figuring this thing out. And for the last week, I feel like God's trying to been mash and kick this thing into my head with the word. I feel like for me, not necessarily for Victory Fellowship or for the United States of America or the Church of the World, but for me, it's persevere. Okay, and this is in the NIV, and this is why, you know, we're using this version here this morning. There's several different words that can be replaced here, but the word for me is persevere. And so you guys know how I do. I just want to make sure that I don't leave stones unturned. So I go to the good old Google machine and make sure that I understand the definition of persevere. So as I look it up, the first part is like a high five Rocky moment. I wasn't even going to talk about Rocky, but it's like a high five Rocky moment. The music's playing. You're like, man, I'm going to go train, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to persevere until I get what I need. But it says to continue on a course of action. To continue on a course of action, to continue on, to press on, to keep going, to not stop, right? To continue on a course of action, right? And when you read that and you think about perseverance, at least me, I'll be the guilty one here since this is my word. Like my immediate thought is, man, I'm just going to keep pushing until I get through. I'm going to keep pushing until I find the other side. I'm going to train like Rocky trained until I beat Apollo Creed, right? Or Mr. T. Or the big Russian, and in the Cold War, whatever, you know, I'm going to continue to train until I find the results that I'm looking for. And guys, I've lived that life for a long time, okay? I've lived that since I was little. If I'll train hard, and I'll work hard, and I'll eat right, and I'll, you know, Hulk Hogan, say my prayers and eat my vitamins, I'm going to win, okay? And I've always looked at that. I mean, I've been coaching for a long time. If we'll do right, eventually we'll push through. Problem, this is what hit me, and this is what hurt. Is the second part of the definition. It says to continue on a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little, and then this is the part that hurts, or with no prospect of success. There is no guarantee that you will find the success that you are looking for. The reason Rocky is a great movie is because he wins at the end, right? That didn't always happen. Somebody has to lose. Somebody has to, there might not be a wall that gets busted down that you thought was going to get busted down. You read the story of Job. There's a lot of time that Job spends persevering with no success. You know, when we look at the end, we're like, oh, you know, at the end he got everything back. He still lost his wife. That happened. Still lost his kids. That happened. This was not, like the end is a nice little feel-good part. But like the rest of it, sucks. And that is the epitome, that's the definition of perseverance, is to push through and continue on a course of action even when there is no chance of success. We're going to do it anyway. And I'm not saying, you know, that our course of action should be futile, right? But how many people that you have no clue have their eyes on you through this thing? You know, through the opportunities, count it a blessing when these opportunities come upon you so that you can persevere. Persevere doesn't necessarily mean win, but it means go forward. Continue on a course of action. My course of action for 2021, kindness. My course of action for 2021, gentleness. My course of action for 2021, meekness, self-control. That's, to me, is a never-ending battle because at some point in time, I feel like I'm going to lose it during the day and snap on some kid and say something mean or whatever, right? Self-control. That's my course of action that may or may not have the ending that I want it to have. When I go back, and again, I'll look at all these things. There is a course of action, even without the prospects of success. To continue on the course of action is living by the Spirit. We may come up short in a situation, like I said, somebody has got to come up short. There's no... Why do people die from cancer? I don't know. So should we give up and quit each time we get that diagnosis? Because not everybody has. I've seen people that have sung on this stage before diagnosed with cancer, and they're still kicking tail and taking names right now. And then there's other people that didn't make it. I don't have the answer to that. But I do know that our answer as a body, our answer for me, our answer as a church is to persevere. Because that's what tells the story, guys. That's the difference between the world and us. The world would say there's no reason to continue on. Let's shut this thing down. Let's bury our head in the sand and just hang on. That's not what we're called to do, guys. Our Bible tells us, again, if we listen to the Apostle Paul here, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, opportunities, situations that cause us uncomfortability, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. When you are tested, it will produce perseverance, a continued on course of action. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Not so that you find success, but so that you become mature and complete. So that you become mature and complete. And we're not talking about mature as in you've turned 21 or 18, but your faith is beginning to mature because you understand that it's not about winning and losing, it's about moving forward. Again, the great Rocky quote, the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows, right? But it's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward because people are watching you on your course of action, whether you know it or not. Whether you know it or not, people are watching you on your course of action. One of the reasons, and I'm not, please don't take offense to this. This is me. I'm talking at me. One reason I don't post stuff on Facebook anymore, I really don't. I may share something funny. I'm definitely going to share stuff about my wrestling program, and I'm definitely going to share stuff about any of the things that I feel like need some attention and focus, but I don't post my kids or vacations and stuff on that. Not because any other reason. I'm not going to promote to you some false narrative that I live in sunshines and rainbows, because I do not. Things are hard. There are arguments that take place, you know? My kids need to be whipped from time to time. If you don't do that, that's fine. That's Romans chapter 14. Okay, do you? Okay, do you and do you? I'm not going to promote this false narrative to where people look at my life and go, man, he's just got it figured out. He's perfect. Wish my wife was like his. I'm not going to do that anymore. And again, if that's not you, I'm not telling you to not do that. I'm telling you what I have been convicted. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to promote this false scenery to the rest of the world, you know? And that's something that I've been convicted on because there are people watching. There are people that know that we've went through stuff. That's okay. It's okay. Guys, let me give you a little bit of freedom. It's okay to make a mistake in 2021. It's okay for the glare on your picture to be there. It's because that's what our life is, guys. Our life ain't perfect. It's stained in crimson, okay? There's a reason for that. It's the grace that covers everything up, not the markup app on your phone. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. It's not the Instagram filter that makes you nice. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And stop pointing people to a false narrative on it. I'm not talking about your social media now. I'm talking about your life. Stop faking people off. Because it's not your clothes that points people to Jesus. Not your shoes. Not your home. Not your vacation that points people to Jesus. What points people to Jesus when they look at you and they know, man, something stinks about this guy, but something's right. His flesh is wrong, but I see the grace of God in his life. I see peace in his life because I see all these things that are happening to him and around him, but he's still kind. And I'm not praying and hoping that you get faced with a lot of adversity. I'm saying when it comes, count it as joy. When it comes, count it as joy. And don't fake people off and make them think that everything's all. It's okay to say something's wrong. When people get diagnosed with cancer, there ain't no faking that off, is there? And we don't, because it gets real now. And so now we got to tell people about it so that we can get our prayer warriors. We need an army of people surrounding this person in prayer because this is what they need. Your marriage is not any different. Your children are not any different. They need to be bathed in prayer. Pretending like it doesn't exist, that's going to lead to divisiveness, discourse, lack of peace, lack of love, strife. We call things as they are for a reason, guys. And it's so that we can apply gentleness and meekness and kindness and self-control to these things so that there's an answer to it. And so, that's another typical 12 or 15 minute sermon from me, but that just is what it is. Like, I am super convicted again for me this year that it is of the utmost importance for me to persevere and not worry about being successful, not worry about winning that particular moment or goal or soul, but to continue on a course of action. Not a futile course of action, but if my course of action includes the fruits of the Spirit, that's the salve everybody else needs. That's what my kids need at work. That's what your friends and coworkers need. They don't need you to be fake. They don't need you to act in your fleshly, selfish interests. They need you to be real, right? And they need you to say, you know what? I know I'm in the flesh right now. Let me back off this thing and put some Jesus on it. That's what the world needs. The world doesn't need us to fake. Because you know what? When it got real in 2020, wasn't no faking that, was there? Put no fake Jesus sprinkles on that. That sprinkle of Jesus. Y'all remember sprinkle of Jesus? It didn't last because it was just a sprinkle. Right? Y'all might still get those. I don't know. I never got any of those. But it's not so you can't just say, oh, we'll just throw the Bible at this thing. And dang, didn't get rid of the corona. It's you. It's you that gets rid of it. Glad you had a lid on that. It's you that gets rid of it. It's your spirit that God is intertwined with his Holy Spirit that's going to get rid and answer these problems. So, guys, my prayer for us as we move forward is that we allow him to be the salve, that balm of Gilead that we talk about. That's what's going to be the difference between having an effective church, right? Which the term even almost makes me angry now, an effective group of believers, right? That's the difference between being effective and ineffective, right? That's the difference between having birth and got young people down here. I'm not going to use these terms, okay? But that's the difference. That's what produces, okay? That's what produces. Intimacy with God, that's what's going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And so my prayer for us this year is that we don't fake things off. It's okay to say, I don't know. Right? It's okay to say, I don't have the answer to this. I serve the one that does. And so I'm going to have peace knowing that if daddy told me to stop walking toward the road, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have peace saying that if he says to turn left, I'm going to turn left. And I don't have to question it because I'm so intertwined with him. I know he's got my best interests at heart. And it may cause us to have to go through and persevere. That's exactly what the world needs from us. Stop trying to find the easy way out. I shared this again with my kids this week. Stop trying to look for the easy way out. You know, I've told you guys, I grew up poor. Okay, we didn't have air conditioning as a kid, Hunter. Okay, we didn't. So guess what? When it was hot, we were hot. Okay, we had to ration out food. Otherwise, we wouldn't have dinner each week. So guess what you didn't do? You didn't go to the refrigerator and take something out unless you wanted to get beat. Those are real things, okay? And so when we were hungry, we were hungry. That's just the way that it was, and it doesn't mean that it was bad, but I think what's happened now with all these things that we have that are standardized, like air conditioning and a plethora of food and Little Debbie cakes, right? When I'm hungry, I go eat, okay? Gain a lot of weight in 2020. That's another problem, right? When I'm hot, I cut on the air conditioner. Take a shower, okay? I do it because I've gotten used to finding the easy button, right? And so now when things are a little bit more difficult than finding the easy button, we have a problem, and we feel uncomfortable. We've gotten too comfortable being comfortable, right? It's good to go outside, do a little work outside. It's good to sweat. It's good to have some calluses, right? It's good to go without. I mean, Paul talks about that all the time. It's good to go without some food, do a little fasting, do a little praying. You know, he'd been shipwrecked so many times. Dude just started getting in the, like, literally, there's writings that talk about he would get off the boat when they could see land and work on swimming to the shore just in case it happens again. It's good to go without. It's good to become tough and resilient, right? Don't feel like something's wrong because you're uncomfortable. Look at it, like he says, like an opportunity. Because it through that's where you gain your perseverance. Right, that's an attribute that you can have, right, to continue on a course of action. Come what may. Come what may, we're still going to serve Jesus Christ. Come what may, he's the author and finisher of my faith. And God forbid it, but if I get it tomorrow and, you know, come what may, I'm still a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's got to be real. Because when that diagnosis comes down or when you're losing your job, you know, stock market dropped more points in one day this year than it ever had in its history in the one day. When all that stuff happens, if that is your determination on life being good and bad, life got bad for you. That's not the determination on whether my life's good and bad. stock market doesn't just determine that. A Democrat or Republican Senate doesn't determine that for me. It's the author and finisher of my faith. And that is where, that's the road that I've got to be on this year in 2021, is to walk that out and to see that out and persevere, even if there's zero chance of whatever that opportunity is of me finding success in it. Even with zero chance, I'm going to persevere through it. So I hope that that helped you guys out this morning. It solidified me. If it didn't do anything for you, I appreciate you letting me talk for a few minutes, because that's where I'm at this year. A lot of those things I'm sharing with Jamie for the first time, because they didn't really come through to me until this morning. So that's kind of where I am at this year. We're going to persevere, and we're going to continue to have our head up and walk in gentleness and kindness and all those things. So with that said, that's my deal for this year. So I don't really feel led to necessarily have an altar call right now, but if there's some prayer that needs to take place, I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to do that as well. Tell you what, let's all stand to our feet, if you don't mind. Ms. Rob, I'm going to let you lead us in prayer. If you have anything that you feel like you need to bring to this altar, obviously we have communion out for a reason. It's there for you. If this is the day that you've decided, you know, I ain't really thought about what my word for 2020 is, or what my course of action should be, take this opportunity to take this time to do that. As a matter of fact, Tyler, would you mind, do you need to stay down here? Okay. Just strum something for us a little bit right here. Guys, this altar is open. If you need to take you or you and your family, or if you need to resolve on a course of action right now, you've got the opportunity to do it here in the house of the Lord, and to make an altar. You know, this altar is just wood, and it's carpet. You know, when we talk about building an altar for God, it's a place of remembrance, right? It's where I can remember this is where and when God did something for me. So if you need to come and make an altar on January 3rd of these are things that God has dropped in my spirit this morning, I'm going to resolve and take a strict course of action on this. Please take the opportunity to use that this morning. So
Papa, I thank you, Lord, that everything that we need is found in you, Lord. Everything that we need is found in you. You are enough for us, God. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this word of perseverance this morning, God. I pray that we would all have a spirit of perseverance, Lord, when we face things in our lives, Lord, that we would just look to you, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And Lord, I pray the word that keeps coming to me this morning that you've given me is exchange, Lord. You want us to exchange some things in this house today, Lord. You want to give us beauty for ashes. You want to give us joy for mourning. Lord, you want us to give us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, Lord. You want us to leave here, Lord, with the things that you've placed in our backpack, God. Joy and hope and peace and comfort, Lord. So I pray, Lord, just a great exchange would take place right now, God, that we would just take this opportunity, Lord, to lay those things down, Lord, and to pick up the joy, to pick up, your word says your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And I pray when we leave here today, Lord, we've picked up the burden that's yoked to you, that is light, that is life-giving. Thank you, Papa. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you see every one of us. You see every single one of us, Lord. And you tenderly care for every single person in this place. I thank you for that, Lord. I just want to read in Isaiah 61. Says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This morning before I even came, and then we were singing Graves to Garden. And that's what God just kept speaking this morning, is like he wants to exchange some things today. He wants to give you beauty for ashes and joy for mourning, but he just needs you to participate and just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you this. And then he will give you the joy, and he will give you the peace, and he will give you the praise.